It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Catherine Barber. Dr. Barber is an injury prevention expert, and she leads the Means Matter project at the Harvard Injury Prevention Center. It's my pleasure to introduce Kathy Barber.
Thank you. So I'm glad to be here. And what am I using for advancing?
Just your arrow.
Okay. No disclosures. To talks like this, I always welcome two groups and really warmly embrace. The first group is gun owners, especially those of you who are passionate about your guns, and especially if you're passionate about injury prevention, because I think you're in an awesome position to be a real advocate on the issue that I'm going to present. The second group that I always welcome is non-gun owners, because we could all use a little love these days. So 10 years ago, suicide prevention groups weren't talking about guns, and gun owner groups weren't talking about suicide. The Means Matter Project, our mission is to try and get this on the agenda for both groups. Because gun owners and their families actually do have a higher risk of suicide that's been well elucidated by over 16 case control studies and psychoautopsy studies. They're dying at higher rates of suicide, but not because they're more likely to be mentally ill or to have considered suicide. We've checked that out in survey data. Rather, because if they do become suicidal, they're a little more likely to involve a gun in their attempt. This is a modifiable risk factor, but nobody was taking it on. The suicide groups, in an astonishing lack of imagination, were thinking, oh, talking about guns means talking about gun control. That's too controversial, and they drew back. The gun owner groups, it simply wasn't on their radar. Suicide wasn't on their radar. So how do we reach gun owners at risk of suicide? Since this is a simple modifiable risk factor, do we do it with an anti-gun agenda by bringing out the people who don't like guns to say, see, they're bad, you shouldn't have them? I would say that's probably not too effective. That's probably like sending the Family Research Council out to do suicide prevention in the gay and lesbian community. If you don't trust the messenger, you don't trust the message, you don't even listen to the message, and you're likely to get the message wrong, to use kind of the wrong language. And what's the message? Well, let's say you're a surgeon, there's somebody in the a woman is in the waiting room while her husband's in surgery, and she's worried. His depression's been getting worse, our marriage has been on the rocks, now with this car crash and a second DUI, yikes, I'm afraid he's gonna think about suicide. Whoever she's talking to, whether it's a trauma center staff member, whether it's a neighbor, whoever, among all the other helpful things they could say, one thing I want it to occur to them to say is there someone who could hold onto your guns for now or to otherwise help you make them inaccessible? If you think about 30 years ago, nobody had heard of designated driver or friends don't let friends drive drunk, and those concepts are ubiquitous now. How do we get that same kind of shift in social norms, that same reach, the same friends helping friends mentality applied to this issue? Well, I think it's actually achievable, and hopefully in fewer than 30 years. Both a clinical strategy where lethal means counseling becomes comfortable and second nature for clinicians and for gatekeepers, people who come who are working with people when they're at their lowest. That's clergy, rehab staff, social workers, eviction people. And then within the gun-owning community, community-level strategies to embed suicide prevention as just a basic tenet of firearm safety, getting it on the radar. I'm going to take 2 minutes on lethal means counseling and then 4 minutes on working with gun owner groups, to the lethal means counseling. Okay, so say that guy, the husband who is in surgery, you're working with him, he's clearly at risk for suicide. He's not suicidal today. A month from now, when his wife finally gives up and says, I'm filing for divorce, he may rapidly become so. Today, when you're worried about him, what's a comfortable way to raise the firearm issue? Is it to say, do you have guns at home? That might work out, but it might also rock him back on his heels and make him think, where is this conversation going? Could this lead to something happening to my guns? So maybe a more comfortable approach is to say, listen, a lot of us here in Cincinnati or wherever you are have guns at home, and what some people do in your situation is they'll store them away from home while things are really rocky, or they'll put them in a safe and ask somebody to hold on to them. What do you think of that idea? There's a free online training on how to do lethal means counseling, how to do a comfortable approach that lets people know, that lets your patients know that you're respecting their decisional autonomy, that doesn't make people feel interrogated. And we currently have a clinical trial going on out in Colorado to look at the impact of lethal means counseling on storage practices. On to the topic that I find really fun, which has been working with firearm instructors and gun shop owners and self-defense writers. These are great messengers of this message. If we want to shift social norms, these are great messengers. Most gun groups have a really strong culture around firearm safety, responsible firearm handling, protecting the family. These are values that dovetail well with suicide prevention. And expanding gun groups' focus from unintentional gun deaths, which number about 500 a year, to firearm suicides, which number about 23,000 a year, that's a nice fit. And so far what I've found is when approached as part of the solution to the problem and when asked for their expertise and help, rather than being vilified as part of the problem, most groups have participated, and often enthusiastically. An example, I got involved in this work back in 2009. A group of us, gun retailers, health folks, gun rights advocates, started meeting in New Hampshire to figure out, is there a role gun shops could play? Not for health people to educate gun shop owners, but to say, hey, we need your help and your expertise. And for them to say, we need your help to understand how the role we could play. So we kind of studied the issues together, learned from each other, and developed materials like this. If you're concerned, a loved one might be suicidal, hold on to their guns. A message that works in New Hampshire, not so well in Massachusetts. And a brochure that I was excited about, that's 10 Commandments of Firearm Safety. Everybody thinks they know what they are. We cross that out, 11 commandments, hoping to pique interest in the 11th, which is to consider temporary offsite storage if a family member is suicidal. When we dropped in unannounced on gun shops 6 months after sending out these materials, almost half were observed displaying some of the materials, which is incredible uptake on a topic that's pretty darn depressing. This began in 2009. By 2016, this kind of approach has spread all across the country in many different incarnations, including a 5-minute module on suicide prevention in basic firearm classes and concealed carry classes, having cup of joe discussions at during hunting season at diners, gun show displays in Nevada, displays on suicide prevention. A So I think in 5 to 10 years, we actually could make the same kind of progress on this issue as has been made on designated driver. If you're interested in taking this work on, whether it's to incorporate lethal means counseling in your clinical sphere, or whether it's to do outreach in your county or your hospital's catchment area to work with sportsmen clubs, shooting ranges, please don't just round up the usual anti-gun folks. If you're not a gun owner yourself, please find thoughtful gun owners to work with, because you'll get great ideas. And one example, whoopsie.
Here, it's okay, you're good. Mm-hmm.
Had we not in Utah worked with a gun owner group, we never would have made this 30-second PSA that I think perfectly encapsulates the message.
Yep, there you go.
Last year I was at my lowest, going through some pretty serious depression. A couple friends of mine stopped by the house and said they were worried about me. Said they'd feel a lot better if they could hold on to my firearms until things turned around. I think they saved my life.
If your loved ones are struggling, talk to them about temporarily storing their guns away from their home, because things do get better.
So that's it. If you have questions, I'm happy to be contacted, and there's my email address. Thank you.